What's up? This is Southern Stomper Luke Hawks, huge effing arms, Wildcat Sports, and you're listening to Shining Wizards Podcast.
This episode of the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast is brought to you in part by the Shining Wizards Network. ShiningWizardsNetwork.com, home to seven great shows featuring the Shining Wizards, the Neckbreaker Podcast, the Turnbuckle Throwbacks, Two and a Half Wrestlers with Pat Buck, Kevin Matthews, and Jay Silva, the Midnight Jury, Just Incredibles Pro Wrestling 101, and our brothers to the north, Apex Radio. All great content, all great shows, exclusively on the Shining Wizards Network, ShiningWizardsNetwork.com. He knows the song. Yeah, I'm recording.
You're a dumbass.
Why?
I don't know.
Best intro ever.
Yes.
Welcome, everyone, to another episode of the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast, where it's wrestling talk.
And talk about wrestling.
I am Matt.
I am Eddie.
I'm Kevin.
And I'm Tony.
Is your microphone on?
And I'm Tony. Yes, it is.
Oh, there
my
you
volume
go.
Volume up on the sound floor?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. I hear you.
Should I lean
if
in
if we
closer?
Can hear Tony, it's too loud.
Like it's a big green cock?
We have an amazing, amazing show for you tonight.
Yeah, J.P. Mayer's going to be on.
is he any relation to John Mayer?
Actually, that's his name.
Nice.
His body is a wonderland.
We kind of stepped in shit.
It's more like an amusement park.
Curb your dogs, people.
And thanks to a little brainstorming between the four of us, we managed to secure the Ayatollah of Rock and Rolla, Mr. Chris Jericho, tonight, a guest on the podcast.
Wow. Yes, we did.
That's huge.
That's pretty big. And Fozzy's going to be in Clifton this weekend on Mother's Day, rocking dingbats. And we'll get into that with Mr. Jericho when he calls in.
I want to ask him why he chose Clifton.
It's a metal bar. It's like a rock. It's a real metal bar.
Is that the old Joey's?
No.
No.
Okay.
No.
God.
All right, just making sure.
Hey, you want to go to Joey's?
Hey, I'm going to slick my hair and go see Jericho.
Okay, I'll pop my collar, go see Jericho at Joey's on Mother's Day.
The Cavaricci's in my eye rock, sweetie.
My Mother's Day.
Mother.
Happy Mother's Day. Day.
Taking my mom to Limelight for her birthday.
Birthday. Got to go to Limelight.
So how are you boys?
Wonderful.
Good. Cool. Fine. So allergies are killing me.
Did we say that we have Chris Jericho on the show tonight?
It's no big deal. It's just another night.
Yeah, baby. Don't you wish you were us?
Are you drinking what is that? Tab?
No, it's number 5.
Nas?
It's a Johnny for number 5 energy drink. It's delicious.
That's amazing.
Is my mic even on? I don't even see my levels going over there.
What do you want? I hear you, unfortunately. So before Mr. Jericho, the big to-do this week, Extreme Rules.
Yes.
What? Any takes on the Extreme Rules, boys?
From what I watched, it was good.
It was good.
I didn't see everything, though.
Okay.
I thought it was a good show.
I thought it was a good show, too. Except...
Oh, no.
I'm probably with Eddie on this.
Except the cage match.
I
and
agree.
The little kid at the end?
Well, just not just that. The fact that Cena beat the Wyatts by himself like 5 times before he was walking out the cage and the lights go out and little fucking Damien sang the song to him. But come on. I mean, why couldn't it just be one-on-one and then just do that finish? You know, he didn't need to beat everybody at the same time. That just bothers me.
Well, my complaint is that the whole idea of a cage match is to keep
people out.
Everybody out.
Yes.
And everybody was in, and it was just goofy.
It was goofy. Oh, and then there was that. Okay, that was whatever, passable. What wasn't passable was the Daniel Bryan backstage nonsense with the forklift.
I didn't mind the match. It's just that when Kane landed on the pallet, it was like, oh, boy,
here we go,
break time.
Yeah.
It was just way too much fucking time in between.
It was just silly.
Yeah.
It was just silly.
Other than that, great match.
Yeah, except for that.
I don't care what people say. Kane, when he's done right, is believable.
And oh, yeah.
Completely, I'm into Kane versus Daniel Bryan.
He is believable. I mean, he's a monster. He's in great shape still. He could still work. I'm not really too keen on the fact that Daniel Bryan is kind of like an undercard champion right now.
He was in the main event slot. You
main
give
event
him that.
Slot.
That surprised me.
That did surprise me, too.
That did surprise me.
We do have to give him that. However, I don't think it was the main event match. I think more of the main event match was the Shield and Evolution. And then after that, maybe Cena Wyatt as an order of importance.
Shield
and
Evolution was fantastic.
What?
Shield Evolution was
fantastic. Oh, God,
yeah. It was a great match.
You know, say what you will about Triple H and Batista, but I think Batista caught his wind. I know he's probably leaving tomorrow.
Yes.
But I think he's doing all right.
Well, when you're in six-man matches with Randy Orton and Triple H and guys like the Shield who can go, you know, you can kind of bury, you know, your mistakes.
Yeah,
you know?
And I don't mind. At this point, I don't mind seeing Triple H out there. He looks good. He's still better than most of the roster, I think.
Yeah, but haven't we been arguing for months, like people like Triple H and Batista need to go away?
They do need to go away.
You know?
But Triple H, I mean, he has a legit standing in the company.
Well,
you know,
well.
I mean, in reality, he is the COO, basically, like he is in charge and he could still go in the ring. It's not like Batista.
No, I understand. But I don't know. You figured because he has a higher position now.
Right.
Like he'd want to step away. But
yeah,
whatever.
It is what it is.
If it leads to the Shield going over on Triple H and all these guys, you know, in high profile spots, you know what? Whatever.
Exactly.
Whatever, indeed.
Indeed it is.
Smart move putting the strap on Mr. Barrett.
Strap on.
I'm afraid I've got some bad.
So over with the Jersey crowd.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Barrett's over everywhere now, it seems. He's fantastic. Big E just totally needs a makeover, like a character makeover.
He's not
ASAP.
Terrible in the ring.
No, he's just bland.
He really lost a lot of steam.
He really did.
From when he first started,
he was booked like shit. Basically, he was given no character. He has an awful leotard. his entrance music sucks. And the worst thing they could have done to that big monster is put him on commentary.
Hey. Are they doing the Bundy gimmick with him?
The Bundy gimmick
where he needs I only need five. What is that? That's the name of his theme song. Is I only need five, and I always see commercials with him on the network. Like holding out, like I only need five. Like is he doing like the five count?
Maybe five minutes.
No, he was doing the five count. I thought for a while, but then it just kind of disappeared. I thought that he was doing it like when he was down NXT and that.
Oh, I don't really? Know. I know that they're doing this thing with him where he keeps saying, "Wait, I need five or five this, five that." And I think his theme song is "I only need five," which I don't know what that means.
I don't understand.
So if you know, just put on our Facebooky thing. That means
whatever it may be.
If you know, you should probably reevaluate your status in life, because that's pretty rough.
That is rough. If you only have five, I don't know. I don't know.
I missed the Paige match. How was that?
A little long and a little like it was okay. It was just kind of like bland.
It was just kind of there.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like her work in NXT. It's not really competitive.
Tamina was fucking vicious, though. There was that one where she kind of like spun her around on the outside right into like the railing.
Oh my God, that I thought she great. Killed her. That was awesome.
It was almost like cartoony looking the way she hit the thing.
It was like a Looney Tune.
Yes.
Dunk.
But I mean, it was inoffensive. It didn't wow me, but it was.
All in all, the pay-per-view was solid. I'm pretty happy with a lot of the things they're doing. Daniel Bryan obviously doesn't seem like he's the focal point. He's not the guy right now. It seems just like they're spending a lot of time grooming Roman Reigns.
Did you enjoy the WLC match?
I did.
I did too.
I
thought I was
it.
Really going to hate that.
I loved it.
But goddamn, was that entertaining as ever.
Fantastic.
Okay, this question keeps coming up with that. A lot of people have been saying like, okay, it was in a great spot because it was on the pregame show to the pay-per-view.
Yeah.
With the network, does a pregame even fucking matter anymore? Why don't they just say, hey, we're starting the pay-per-view at 7:30 and we're giving you this awesome match, WLC?
Well, that they threw a commercial in the middle of the WLC match.
Oh, did they?
Yeah, there was a commercial for the pay-per-view in the middle of the WLC match, which I thought was really, really weird, and I didn't understand it.
They do that on all the pre-show matches. They throw in commercials.
Yeah, but you have that whole half an hour to shill out the show, and, I mean, you assume anyone watching it is watching for the pay-per-view. Like, why do we need a commercial break in the middle of the match?
To tell us about Emma and her awesome robot dance. That's why.
What was the commercial? Was it a commercial for the pay-per-view?
Yes.
That doesn't make sense.
None whatsoever.
That doesn't make any sense.
Hey, do you enjoy this WLC match? Why don't you stay around for another 2 hours and 45 minutes?
We already have your $10 a month.
And who gets that match for free? Like, don't you have to buy the pay-per-view to see that match?
Was it on YouTube?
It might be on YouTube. The YouTube channel. They might put it on WWE.com.
I don't know how that works anymore.
Kevin's in the bathroom having a nervous poop.
Is he?
Kevin's got the Hershey squirts.
He's having a nervous poop
because we have pooping?
Jerk on.
Are you pooping?
He can't hear us. He's going.
Are the cats watching
you? Gotta be brave.
cut down, not across.
Woo, Jesus.
You would imagine, though, that.
Where's the 69 boys? Somebody's making Tootsie Roll.
You would imagine that they would use that half an hour, the 10 minutes to showcase the match, and the other 20 just to hype the pay-per-view like they used to do.
Yeah.
I don't know why you have to go to a commercial in the middle of the match. I want to see evil Hornswoggle. The beat up El Torito.
It's awesome.
Is it? Let me ask you guys a question.
Yes.
It frustrating that the Hornswoggle, 3MB, El Torito, Matadors storyline might be the most consistent storyline in the WWE right now?
That gets more time than fucking Brian does. That's what I was saying.
Yeah, you know, you're right. It is pretty consistent.
Every week. It's great. And because it's so entertaining.
Because they wrestle each other three times a week. They're on every show every week.
It's true. It's very true.
On every single show, main event, superstars, SmackDown, Raw, they're on every single one.
I like Evil Hornswoggle.
I do too.
I think he's fantastic. Little rock star Hornswoggle.
He's badass.
He's badass. He's fantastic.
What about the RVD Swagger Cesaro three-way dance?
It was there. It was good.
I liked it.
Which they did again. Lillian announced it as an elimination match.
Yes.
And Cole, JR, and not JR, Cole, Lawler, and JBL announced it as a first pinfall is the victor.
Right, which is why when Swagger was pinned, Michael Cole got confused and he goes, did he kick out? That must have been a two. Because he knew that Swagger, or not Swagger, but Rob Van Dam, who pinned Swagger, wasn't winning the match. So he was kind of trying to protect it. And then he realized, oh yeah, it's elimination. They should kind of smarten up the announcers to what the match is about.
Yeah, you would think so. Because there was like that awkward pause, and he was like, what, what, who, what?
Yeah, and then he probably got yelled at in his headset.
Didn't that happen at WrestleMania as well? Didn't they fuck something up there?
The tag team pre-show.
That's it. That was supposed to be elimination, and they were announcing that as pinfall wins.
Yeah, yeah.
Idiots.
They should have left the midget announcers from the pre-show on.
Did you see about that? Did you read about the
awesome
short sleeve Samson, about the picture he posted, and he got a lot of heat for it?
Oh, yeah. Whoops.
There was a picture of short sleeve Samson, who I believe was the Michael Cole announcer, or whatever they called him. He posted a picture, I don't know if it was on his Twitter, of him at the announce booth, the little announce booth, and right behind him in like the front row was John Cena and the Wyatts going over their match.
Yeah, right behind him.
Right behind him.
Boo.
Well, he's kind of short. He probably didn't see who it was. He just probably saw crotches and assholes.
Well, I don't think the cameraman was a midget.
No, the cameraman was a normal
A normal person?
Yeah, a normal person.
Because midgets aren't normal people.
They're not.
They're just waterheads that have straight brains.
Waterheads?
They're waterheads that aren't retarded.
Oh, my God.
Yikes.
Oh, too soon? Wait, before we go on, I just got some, I got an interesting post here from our friend Mega Powers.
Oh.
Do you guys know anything about the, let me see this, the WrestleMania Rewind shows? Are those new shows that the network's doing?
They've been doing them for a minute.
Yeah. Okay. Well, apparently, Leapin' Lanny Poffo made an appearance in the one for WrestleMania 4.
No,
he's not.
I'm here.
Is he not?
It says Lanny Poffo. Former WWE superstar and Macho Man's brother.
Oh, I saw it. Yeah.
So, I wonder if this has any indication of things to come.
I thought he was going to be wearing our shirt.
Yeah, right.
He looks menacing in this picture. I don't know what he's talking about.
If he agreed to do that for the WWE Network, I'm sure there's a paycheck involved, and I'm sure that there's been talks about having him induct Randy Savage.
They bring everybody back for the network.
And if Warrior can come back, anyone can come back.
Yeah. I mean, again, I'm not putting too much stock in it. I'm sure the conversations happen, but they've been reaching out to everybody for they have so much time to fill on that network. They'll reach out to anybody and everybody.
Do you think this comes as a Randy induction or as a Poffo family induction?
Randy induction.
You think he's going to be cool with that?
I think so.
He was pretty adamant when he was on the show that, you know.
That's true, but there he is right in front of you on the network.
Yes, and Lanny told Oz. Are you kidding me? I'm podcast cancer.
Terrible, bro.
Wow.
I'm just going to play because we're in Studio B tonight, and I'm not exactly hooked up with my hookup. But it's great, because I don't have to worry about the board tonight. It's all on Matt, so.
Yeah, that's true.
So
yeah, but I don't really.
I get to fuck up in other ways.
I don't have to control anything. I just have to make sure this keeps recording.
Yeah.
I don't have to worry about sound or anything.
Well, you do have to worry about our call-in guest in a hot minute.
Hot.
Yeah,
hot.
I do.
Hot.
I do.
Okay, it works now. 5 minutes too late.
Late. All late.
Whoops. I stink.
Jericho's going to call in a few, so I don't want to start any new topics, but I was listening to last week's episode.
I listened to it like six times.
I'll tell you how
yeah, it was
much
pretty good.
None of us give a shit about TNA. Eddie referred to the tables match and said it was Bobby Roode against James Storm, and not one of us,
I know.
Not one of us were like, no, you're wrong. We were
until
just like,
yeah. I went to the match that Bobby Roode actually was in, and I was like, oh, wait. Who was James Storm actually in? I don't even remember.
Who was in the tables match?
It was Bully Ray and Bobby Roode.
Who's on first?
And once we realized it was like James Storm versus Gunner, I think that's when we finally...
Oh, Gunner, he's our friend.
Gunner is our friend. You know, I was listening to Jim Ross's podcast today, and everything that we said about TNA, he totally agrees with.
He's like, you know what, Eddie? Don't sleep with the window open.
You know.
My God! I'm frozen in half!
No.
Frozen in half.
No.
How come nobody's ever said that before? That's kind of odd.
It's just awful. It's just so bad. A boo. But yeah, I mean, he's right. That Impact Zone kills it. It kills it. And these guys...
It's from Florida.
It's awful. And no knocks against the talent in TNA, because all those matches were pretty damn good.
No, it's just being there.
It's just being there.
Oh, you think those people are awful in Florida? Wait till I get to news later. I got some humdingers coming out of Florida today.
Yeah?
Oh boy.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
Oh, yeah.
Good things?
I'm sorry. You were going to say?
No, I said, oh, boy.
Oh, I thought we were going to segue out and maybe wait for... Oh, we got time yet, right?
Yeah, we got like five more minutes
were setting up there. We were going to talk to Mr. Jericho.
Well, I don't want to start something that we don't get to finish. Because we do have quite interesting conversations.
That is true. Yes. Well, we can just go back to the pay-per-view. What do you guys think about Daniel Bryan Kane? You think it's just something to waste time?
Absolutely.
Kind of like a throwaway?
I do.
Yeah.
Because if you read the interweb, apparently Batista was supposed to get moved into a program with Daniel Bryan.
Oh, yeah.
And
he's like,
Batista
no.
said no, which I don't know why. And then so they had to stretch the Kane-Daniel Bryan thing. So, you know, Kane and Zack Ryder had a lot of segments on Raw on Monday. I mean, just Kane and Daniel Bryan had a lot of segments, which is basically Kane-Zack Ryder version 2.0.
And Eve.
Yeah, and Eve, yeah.
We'll talk about that after Jericho. We'll get into Raw because, oh, my God.
Do you want to take a minute for a plug?
Yeah, go nuts.
We are going to be at Crossroads.
Crossdressers.
That's in Garwood, New Jersey on May 29th, which is a Thursday.
And we will be joined by...
What?
Oh, was Kevin the one that said
well,
that?
Well, Kevin has a guy with us.
Well, I didn't want to...
Right? KP Burke?
Oh, our pal, KP Burke, yeah.
Oh, I thought you were going for the other possible
people. I thought you were going
people.
For the... What, oh,
yeah, we got the...
Our friends of PWS.
Oh, yeah, we got the Heavenly Bodies from PWS joining us as well.
And a lot of funny comics, myself, obviously.
You said funny comics.
What's KP Burke doing on the show?
Oh!
Love you, miss you, buddy.
Pal KP, Sean Morton is going to be there as well. A lot of funny stuff going to happen there. Crossroads, May 29th, podcast at 7, live comedy show at 8. Just a measly $10. And you have a chance to win tickets to see a show at the same venue the following week on June 5th. featuring myself, my pal Adam Lucidi, my pal Joe Carney, and the one, the only hardcore legend, Mick Foley.
See, you should have just said, and my pal Mick Foley. Maybe you heard of him.
And you have a chance to be ridiculed live by me.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Because I'm definitely yelling at somebody.
Ooh, you guys can play How Many N-Bombs Can Matt Drop?
No.
Yeah, we're gonna have to talk about that.
I haven't dropped an N... Hold on.
It's been years.
I haven't dropped an N-bomb in a long time.
It's been years.
But with a live public forum, we have to take extra precautions sometimes.
I haven't done one yet.
I know.
Saying, has anyone sent the brain a ticket?
I don't support that type of language.
So come on out. It's going to be a good time.
It always is.
It's going to be a real good time.
It always is.
We also have Legends of the Ring the next Saturday. In Monroe.
Next Saturday
after the 5th.
I was going to say, holy shit.
No, it's June 7th. Eddie, Kevin, and myself will be there. I don't know. We'll be joined by the Mega Powers and Mr. Phil Rea of the Turnbuckle Throwbacks.
And Justin Credible.
And Mr. Justin Credible. Our pal.
Our buddy.
Justin Credible.
Justin Credible.
I'll tell you what.
Real quick, I was talking to him the other day, and he was invited down to Florida to train some of the guys.
Pablo, honey. Honey, come to Florida.
Come to Florida, honey.
No, seriously. Honey. He was invited to go to Florida for FCW or
That's
whatever
awesome.
It is, the training center, whatever they do there.
So a possible tryout for himself, possibly?
I don't think so.
No, I think lately they've just been bringing like some of the like the guys from the past.
Yeah,
like
Mickey James was there.
But it could stick.
That's
what I'm saying.
If he does a good job, they could have him down there as a gig.
Yeah. That would be uber tits.
That would be great. Because they brought in Billy Gunn, and look, he's still
Road
there.
Dog and
Road Dogg.
Maybe we get
Billy
like
Kidman, Norman Smiley. All those guys have jobs there now. So.
Yeah, so it'd be great if he ended up with like a nice full-time gig there.
Norman Smiley's down there, and nobody's opted for the big wiggle as a move.
I know.
That doesn't make sense. Why would you not steal that? Or they're like, hey, Norman, do you mind?
Because we get the Emma dance.
You can't see that, but I'm imitating Emma. Look at my puss.
Well, it's great news for our buddy Justin Credible. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, the Ayatollah of rock and roll, the man with the master plan, lead singer of Fozzy, former WWE champion.
First undisputed champion.
He has his own podcast. He's one of our I guess, podcast brothers, would you say?
Brother from another mother.
Beat Austin and The Rock in the same night.
That's right. He did.
Mr. Chris Jericho will be joining us. So when we come back, Chris Jericho.
Giddy up.
Taco. Who?
Ladies and gentlemen, now joining us on the Shining Wizards Hotline, he's the Ayatollah of rock and rolla, the lead singer of Fozzy, and he will be in Clifton, New Jersey this Sunday night, Mr. Chris Jericho. How are you tonight, Chris?
Woo! Yes. Yeah, all right. Absolutely, man. I'm doing good. How are you guys doing? What's going on over there in the Shining Wizards world?
Not a whole lot. Just sitting here anxiously waiting to talk to you. It's a... This is like a nice surprise.
As you should be, my friend, as you should be.
It's crazy because I was listening to your podcast with Cesaro on my way over here, and now I'm talking to you. It's just like completely surreal, bro.
Well, you've got a pretty cool life, man.
I do. You have a pretty cool life. You just dropped your new single, Lights Go Out. You got a new album coming out. We were listening to Lights Go Out. A little bit of a different sound, I think, compared to a lot of your earlier work. What went behind that?
Well, we were just listening to what's been going on rock radio lately, and a lot of bands sound the same. You know, it's hard to tell which one is which and discern, you know, who is who. And we just wanted to do something a little bit different. It's not too far away from us because we, you know, we love Iron Maiden and Motley Crue and, you know, Ozzy and Metallica. But we also, you know, love Avenged Sevenfold and Bullets by Valentine. But we also love, you know, Pink Floyd and Queen and The Police and U2 and Zeppelin and Guns N' Roses and bands that were always changing and adjusting their sound and their style. And, you know, we wanted to do something a little bit different. And even though it is kind of a little bit more, I call it like dance club metal. I think it's the only song that debuted in a Vegas disco and on Octane, Sirius XM Octane on the same day. So, I mean, it's still heavy, it's still dark, but it's got a huge hook. And it's something a little bit different, but it's been going through the roof. It's a real game changer for us, and it's a song that our fans now love it or are starting to love. And for people that have never heard Fozzy, they're going, wow, you know, we didn't know Fozzy was like this. So it's the type of song that gives you a bigger fan base and gets you further in your career, and that's what we needed. So it's good that we're excited about it, man. Like I said, it's only been out for a few for a few days now, but a week and a half or so, and it's kind of already blown through the roof. So
yeah,
it's a good time right now to be in the band.
Yeah, dude, it's super catchy. The hook is great. I was immediately drawn to it. I like it a lot. Your vocals are phenomenal in it. And I just want to go back in time a little bit. Besides wrestling, is being a rock star, a metal god, is that something you always wanted to do? And do you have any vocal training whatsoever, or do you just have a good ear for it?
Well, I mean, people have heard this from me so many times. You know, when I was a kid, I wanted to be a rock band and I wanted to be a wrestler. Those are my two goals. And, you know, you might as well have told people that I wanted to be a sword swallower and, you know, the savior of the human race. People are like, what are you talking about? Like that, what do you mean? But for me, I never really questioned it or thought, well, why can't I do both of these things? And, you know, I started playing in bands when I was 12 and I started wrestling when I was 19. So I've been doing both of these things since I was a teenager, and I didn't just wake up one day and go, hey, I'm going to be in a band. It's something I've done my whole career wrestling wise, even beforehand. So, I always sang and played bass in all my bands. And after we did the All That Remains record back in 2006, I did go take some vocal lessons, kind of found out a little bit more about what my range is. It's a lot like wrestling. You know, it's not just it's not only what you can do, it's what you don't do. You know, I mean, I'm not going to try and do a triple Lindy from the top rope if I'm wrestling because it's not really me and it's not going to work. And it's the same with music. You know what your range is, you know where your wheelhouse is, and you stick within that when you do melody lines or when you sing a tune. And also being on the road. I mean, we've done, thousands of shows at this point with Fozzy, and you learn at every one of them, and you cut your teeth. It's just like learning how to wrestle. I mean, you can go to school and learn, but until you get out there and actually start having matches in front of a live audience and fall on your face a couple times, and then you realize, what am I good at? What am I not good at? And focus on the positives and kind of ignore the negatives a little bit. And so it's like that with anything that you do from a show business standpoint. And, with Fozzy, we've been doing this since 2000, but more specifically since 2010, when the band became the priority for all of us, and that's when we really started growing as songwriters and as musicians and as performers to where we are today, which is, a very hot up and coming band, which is really cool and gratifying after all the work we put into it.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And you guys started, doing mostly covers, and then you pretty much graduated and evolved into doing original music. The four of us here were always fans of, metal growing up, the 80s and the 90s. Like, that was a thing. Guns N' Roses, Def Leppard, Metallica. You said that you are Journey and Metallica's bastard children. Why do you think that metal is so much bigger in Europe than in the States as of right now? Because I know in the 80s and maybe early 90s, metal was a pretty big deal over here, and it still has a huge following. But it seems like in Europe, it's just a mainstay. Is there any reason for that?
I just think Europe is less trendy. I mean, the UK has always been our biggest market as far as fan base goes and as far as, everything. We're getting ready to go over to Download in June, where we're going to be playing main stage, fourth or fifth from the top. That's 100,000 people, and there's 8 stages over at a Download show. So we're playing, the number one stage, which is something that, here in the States, we wouldn't be at that level yet. And I think it's just because Europe is, and when I say Europe, I mean, I include the UK in there, just less trendy. People like what they like. And here it's based a lot around radio, which they don't really have a big radio scene in the UK. So it's more just word of mouth, still based around magazines, print reviews and press. And so for whatever reason, I don't really know why, but the States is getting better. I mean, that's why it's great to have, we played Carolina Rebellion last week, and we're doing Rock on the Range next week. They're kind of bringing like that European festival style to the States, which is great, because when you do a festival, like we just played, I think we ended up playing in front of about 15,000 people. A lot of those people know Fozzy, and a lot of them have never heard of Fozzy before, but when they leave, they become fans. And that's one thing about our band. We've been doing this long enough, and we have it down. We have our act. It's a very tight show. It's a very entertaining show. It's a very energetic show. And when people come to see us, they leave as fans, and they have a great time, if they've never heard this band before. And sometimes in rock music, to say that you're going to come to your show and have fun is almost a dirty word, but we insist on that. We focus on it, and we make sure that everybody has a good time. We kind of consider ourselves the same vibe that Van Halen had in 1979. Not the same type of music, but you would go to a Van Halen show and there was 4 rock stars on stage and you had a great time, and that's kind of what we're doing with Fozzy.
Yeah, yeah, that's awesome. And I'm looking forward to seeing you guys for the first time live, pretty much right up the street from where I live in Clifton, New Jersey at Dingbats. I'm going to walk in a Jericho fan. I'm going to walk out a Fozzy fan. You've been performing for a long time in front of large crowds, large audiences. Do you still get nervous out there before you perform, you know, wrestling-wise or even with the band?
Nervous in a good way, absolutely. Nervous that you're going to have a good set. Nervous that the people are going to be going nuts. Nervous that everything's going to work out the way you want it to. I mean, I think the day when you don't feel that is the day when maybe it's time to step back and move on to the next thing, because it's not easy. I don't care if you've had, 3,000 matches or, 3,000 shows under your belt. You just never know what's going to happen. And some, there's nothing better than having a great gig or a great match. And there's nothing worse than having a bad one. And it doesn't matter who you are. It still happens. You can still have a bad show. You can still have a bad match. It just happens sometimes. Things don't click or there's a mistake or the crowd is kind of dead. So I'm not nervous and like, oh my gosh, what am I going to do? But nervous in that I just want it all to come off good, and I want to leave with people going, holy smokes, that was one of the best things we've ever seen. And that's always my goal in anything I do, no matter what it is. And right. That's not only in a live situation, it's in a creative situation. When we do a new record, or when I write a new book, or when I do a podcast, I want people to listen, and I'm very much a numbers person. How many tickets do we sell tonight? How many downloads did I do on the podcast? How many views do we have on the Lights Go Out lyric video that went up last week? All that stuff matters, and I keep an eye on all of that. I've never been the type of guy that just does something and lets it go and just goes, well, just hope for the best. Now, see you later. On to the next thing. I'm very much, involved in every single aspect of everything I do. And when things work, it's the greatest feeling. And when things don't work, I take it personally and try and figure out why and try and remedy it so I can make it better the next time.
Yeah, yeah. I was just going to ask you. I mean, like, you've been in front of wrestling crowds that might not sometimes be into the match you're having. Is it different when you're on stage and you're in a set and you really can't change things up too much, but the crowd's not digging it? How do you react to that? I mean, what do you do to maybe shift gears?
Well, I mean, there's really nothing you can do. I mean, some cities and some crowds are just instantly nuts, and that's just the way it goes. Other cities and other crowds are a little bit more subdued. So that's the way that it goes in that.
And
so you just never, you kind of can figure it out once you get out there, what you're going to be up against and what you're doing. And, sometimes, for wrestling, the crowds are just more quiet. It's just the way it goes. You can light yourself on fire and it's not going to matter. So in that case, you just grin and bear it and go through it and do the best you can. And same with Fozzy. And I can grab a cup of water and throw it on somebody if they're not rocking up to snuff. But that's just going to piss them off, and they're probably just going to leave anyways. But I still will do that sometimes. But, your dream crowd is the kind that are chanting your name before you even get to the stage or before you even get to the ring. And when you can get that, you can just stand there and people start chanting your name, it's going to be a good night. But some nights that happens and some nights it doesn't, and it's nothing to do with the individual or the band. Sometimes it's just the crowd. And then other times they might not be familiar with you, and when that happens, you can usually see them change midway through the set to when you're finishing up, they're going nuts for you. And that's what happens when you're touring with another band, supporting them. Like tonight we're playing a show with Buck Cherry. So some of those people came for Fozzy. Some of them came for Buck Cherry and Fozzy, and some of them came just for Buck Cherry. So our job is to show the people who have no idea who Fozzy is what we do and, punch them in the face a few times figuratively and leave them wondering what the hell just happened. And we love that band, and next time they come to town, we're going to be there to see them, and we're now a fan. And that's kind of half the fun when you do shows with other bands is watching that tide change.
And Chris, you've conquered the pro wrestling world. You're on your way to conquering music. You've written books. You've also dabbled in comedy with the Groundlings, I believe.
I performed with the Groundlings, a few years ago now, probably 5-6 years ago. It's one of the most famous improv troupes in the world. Kristen Wiig is a Groundling, and Will Ferrell and Phil Hartman and those type of people. And comedy is just something I've always done. I've always had a good sense of humor. You can see that in some of the work I've done, in the WWE. It's just part of who I am. So that's why when I did, the web series, But I'm Chris Jericho, it's just kind of an extension of what I do, which is, just kind of make fun of myself and make sure that people have a good time and laugh along with it. And that's part of entertaining as well.
Right. And do you think that is inherent in, because you see a lot of wrestlers dabbling now in comedy. Obviously, Mick Foley's doing great at it. Do you think it's inherent in pro wrestling that wrestlers want to conquer other genres of entertainment? Obviously, the
I don't think it has anything to do with pro wrestling. I think it's just you're either an entertainer or you aren't. I mean, do I consider myself a wrestler? No, I consider myself an entertainer, and I have since I was 19 years old. And anything that falls within that umbrella that I think I can do, I'm going to try it. And I think that's the same with anybody, with Rock or Foley or Austin. You know, it's not like I'm a wrestler going to try and make it in the outside world. It's no, you're just an entertainer. You know, I play the part of a wrestler. I enjoy that. And now I'm playing the part of a singer. I enjoy that. I play the part of a podcaster. I enjoy that. The same way that, you know, Leonardo DiCaprio plays the part of the Wolf of Wall Street, and then he goes and plays Howard Hughes, and then he goes and plays, another character in another movie. If you're an entertainer and a performer, you like to do different roles. And that's the way I've always looked at things. And sometimes people don't want to accept that, but I really don't care, and I never have. I do what I feel is best. I do what I feel I can make an impact in, and I have a great fan base that follows me and knows that if they see Chris Jericho's name on something, that you're probably going to like it. I mean, it's the same with my podcast. It's like I do wrestling shows, I do music shows, I do sports shows, I do ghost hunting shows or whatever it is. And at first, people, as they do, are bitching. We want more wrestling. Why is there no wrestling this week? And it's like, listen, if I have a guest on my show, trust me, you're going to like them and listen. And if you're looking for all wrestling, go listen to somebody else's, because you're never going to get that with me. And now I've kind of got this great fan base that knows, okay, so this week it's Michael Sweet from Striper and Phil Esposito from the Boston Bruins. And I don't know much about hockey or I don't know much about Striper, but I'm going to listen. And wow, that was really good, because it's not the subject, it's the interviewer. And, you know, if I think that it's an interesting person, I'll have them on my show, and I expect you to trust me and to follow along. So I think it's like that with all the things I've done in my career. Just stop bitching about it and just sit back and enjoy it. And if you enjoy it for what it is, you're going to love it and be entertained. So just trust me.
Yeah, your podcast is extremely entertaining. I love that wrestling isn't the only avenue that you explore. I was especially a big fan of the ghost hunting show. I love that paranormal stuff, that crazy stuff. Bad 80s, sitcoms, things like that. But one thing I did want to talk to you about, and I don't want to take up too much time with it, but I totally agree with you, and I don't think I'm spoiling this for anyone else, but the finale of Dexter really pissed me off. I felt like I wasted years on that show.
Well, Dexter was the tale of two shows. On one side, you had one of the most well-written, unique, creative, excellent shows in history. On the other side of the coin, you had one of the laziest, plot hole-filled, boring shows in history. And that's why that show drove me nuts, because even that last season, it was moving along great. It was very intriguing, very interesting. What's going to happen? And then the last two or three episodes, they just copped out of everything, and it just ended up being a mess, like you said, where you're finishing up going, why did I waste my time with this? So, you know, sometimes that happens. And then you get Breaking Bad, where the finale was above and beyond anything I could have ever expected. So, I mean, you know, sometimes you get that with TV shows, and that's why, you know, for like I say, the career of Chris Jericho, I don't ever want to be Dexter. Well, sometimes it's good and sometimes it's bad, and we don't know which one is which, so people just stop watching. And if you always keep people guessing and always make sure that people are going to get, you know, satisfied and get their money's worth, so to speak, with everything that you do, then they're always going to come back and trust you that no matter what it is, they're going to like it. Now, not everything I've done has been a huge hit. I mean, there's been a couple, you know, ups and downs along the way. But for the majority, I think that you can, if you look at my career biography, you'll see that the things I've picked and things